Turn, if you will, this morning. You know, we've had a great time in our family just being together on Thanksgiving Day, and I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Maybe your life blessed others. Deuteronomy 6, chapter 6. That's in the Old Testament, isn't it, Brother Bill? Verse 4. The Word of God says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, or when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for these that are here today. Lord, we just thank you right now that if there's one person here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Lord, today might be that day that they give their life to you. Lord, if there's someone here today looking for a church home, and this is the place you've led them, Lord, may they come and join in with this fellowship. Or, Lord, if there's a Christian here that's not running the race of life like they should, and, Lord, we've all stumbled, we've all fallen short, Lord, that we might recommit our lives to you, that we might get up and run the race that you'd have for us. We give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. 1,000 unwed teenage girls become mothers every day. 1,106 teenage girls get abortions every day. 4,219 teenagers contact sexually transmitted diseases every day. 500 adolescents begin using drugs every day. 1,000 adolescents begin using alcohol every day. 135,000 bring guns or weapons to school every day. 3,610 are assaulted, 80 are raped every day. 2,200 drop out of high school every day. And 6, such a small number here, commit suicide every day. Now, what do these all have in common? They happen in America every day. It doesn't matter who we have as president, so to speak, if we do not give our children what they need every day, then we're going to see these things continue to happen. I'm so glad that I had a father and a mother that took me to Bible study on Sunday morning. Not only took me, they stayed with me there. I'm so glad they prayed for me as I grew up. I'm so glad we could sit around and talk about Jesus Christ. It was something that was welcome in our home. It makes a difference in a person's life. Socrates once said, "Could I climb the highest place in Athens, I would lift my voice and proclaim, 'Fellow citizens, why do you turn and scrape under every stone to gather wealth and take so little care of your children, of whom one day we will relinquish it all?'" Now think about that, folks. Think about what we hear in Scripture. The people are gathered here to hear God's word. They're about to go over into the land of Canaan. They will have all kinds of obstacles ahead of them. They will have walled cities that they have to fight the people. They will have many things to work out in this new land that God has given them. And God wanted his people to be strong and remain strong. So what does he counsel the people to do? Now, amazingly, God doesn't say, listen, I want you as my children to strengthen your military. He doesn't say that. Or he doesn't say, I want you to have all the finest weapons of war. He doesn't do that. What God says is simple. He says, I want you to strengthen your families. And folks, I believe in America, I believe in our city and town, one thing we fail to do is to strengthen our families. Right here in this church, we have failed to strengthen our families. If we're ever going to be what God wants us to be, we have to strengthen our families. Listen to what he says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord God, the Lord is one. Why does he say that? He's emphasizing that we need to understand that God is the one true God. He's not a God of many that we serve. He's the only God. Oh, man, let me tell you something. You fathers and your mothers, if you do not teach your kids about the Lord Jesus Christ, if you do not take time to develop their minds and their hearts and their soul, the old devil's out there, he will. And he will drain the energy and drain the life out of your child. Six main qualities to have a strong family. Listen, one, you've got to be committed. You've got to have your family committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to spend time together in the Word of God. And you've got to communicate to your child the Word of God. You've got to learn to love one another. Express your love towards your wife towards your husband, and both of you express your love to children. One thing I find today is children, they wonder if their parents really care for them. They wonder if I'm loved. Am I just here by an accident? Nobody seems to care for the children. Do they express appreciation to each other? Do they have a spiritual commitment one to the other? You see, do they have the ability to sit down as adults with their children and solve the problems in a crisis instead of yelling at one another and fighting with one another that we see so common today? Well, five keys here are given to strengthen the family. Now listen to them. One, invite your child to receive the Lord. That was great, Shelley, what you just said about your little girl. You need to learn to invite your children to receive Jesus Christ. Somebody told me, well, preacher, that's your job. No, that's your job. You train them up. You don't wait for a preacher to come. You start teaching that boy and girl about Jesus Christ. It says here, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now, that verse was as familiar to the Israelites and the Jewish people as John 3:16 is to us today. For God so loved the world. You know that, don't you? You've heard it. You've seen it on television. You've seen it. Well, they were familiar with the passage of Scripture that God said here, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God. He makes that statement that God is one. He is unique. And parents ought to teach their children from the very moment that they're born, I believe, that our God is the one true living God. He is the only God, and he's our God. And let them know that he is the God in your household. I'm so glad I was down at Mother's the other day. Mother's got to where she can't remember a lot and talk to you a whole lot, carry out a communication. But as I was sitting there at the house, I was sitting where my father used to sit many times. And right there in front of him, He has assigned. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Folks, I've read that sign so many times. I know beyond a doubt that my father is with the Lord today. And I know that my brother is with the Lord today. And I know that my nephew is with the Lord today. And my uncle is with the Lord today. Because they served God. They hid that word in their heart. And they loved the Lord with all their heart. Your number one responsibility as a parent, now listen to this, is not how much you make to leave your children, but that you teach your children to have a personal relationship with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not going to matter how much money you leave them, because one day they're not going to need that money at all. They're going to need Jesus Christ. Now, the mission of introducing our children to Christ by faith can be likened to running a race, a relay race. You know, I always like the relay races in the Olympics. It's like this. You as a father are running the first leg of the race, and you're carrying that baton. That kind of looks like it, don't it? You can run with that thing. I can't run anymore. I figured that out when I was playing baseball, when the ground jumped up and hit me. But you know what? The father runs his lap carrying this baton, which represents who? Jesus Christ in our life. Now, the problem is, if you do not have Jesus Christ in your life, you've missed the race already. You must accept him and trust him as your Lord and Savior, the forgiveness of your sins, that you might have eternal life, and invite him to come into your life. And the Bible says he will, and he will seal you with the Spirit. And therefore, everywhere you go, you carry Jesus Christ with your life. And at the appropriate moment in your life, when you're running, you pass the baton to your child. When you get to the end of your lap, then finally, that boy or your son runs his race, and he runs with this baton, and he's running with all he has, and at the appropriate time in his life, he passes it on to his child. You see? Now, we all know something. The critical moment, the moment the race can be won or lost, is at the transfer of this baton. The transfer of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One miscalculation. I saw one of the countries running one time in the Olympics, and they were running. They were in the lead by just a little bit. And one of the, almost the next to the last runner, I believe it was running, and he got distracted from the man coming up on him, and he reached out and let go of the baton before the guy had a hold of it. See, he's running with his hand behind him, and he didn't receive. He missed the baton. Oh, let me tell you something. At the critical moment in life, one little mishap can change a child for generations. One little dropping of the baton introduced Jesus Christ to their life. Tell them about Jesus Christ. Like he said, teach them morning, night, about Jesus Christ. I heard Shelly said she prayed with her children before she went to bed, her child before she went to bed. I never will forget my grandmother and my mother. They'd all come in kneeling by the bed, and we'd say our nightly prayer. You know, we had four boys and one girl, and that went on every single night. We would pray. I never will forget it. Those things like that are deep in my heart, and I believe we ought to pray for our children. Never will forget coming in early one morning, and their dad is at the table by his coffee and things, and he's praying for his children. And I told Mother, I said, I didn't know he prayed for us every morning. She said, every morning he prays for you. Man, if that don't break your heart, I just didn't want to disappoint him in my life. Every time something would come up, I had a choice to make. Am I going this way, which is wrong, or am I going to do what's right? I just couldn't disappoint him. You know, I don't think we ought to disappoint Jesus either. We ought to think about the things we do because he's living in our life. Inspire your children to revere the Lord in your life. Now listen, it's not enough to just teach them the reality of God. A child or your children must be taught the responsibility of God to God. And it's all summed up in that word I said a while ago, love. When we walk about loving God, when we have God in our life, man, let me tell you something, people are going to notice it. Now, the average kind of love that the average Christian has is a love that doesn't really desire God. Our love ought to desire God in our life. God deserves and demands that we love him. We're to love God, it says here, listen to what it says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That pretty well sums it up, don't it? Love the Lord with all your heart. Nothing breaks the heart of God more than just a half-hearted love. Church, he writes, because you're lukewarm. That's half-hearted, isn't it? I will spew you out of my mouth. Now, I love you, and God loves you. But it breaks my heart, and it breaks God's heart when I hear, well, preacher, you know, my boy's game, they moved it to Sunday. He's got to play sports on Sunday evening, so we can't be at the church on Sunday night. What? I can't believe you said that. That's half-hearted, isn't it? Let me tell you something. What you do in your life, if you do not get that baton to your son and you mess up on the handle or hand him off to Christ, off to him, it will affect his life forever. You don't believe that? When they grow up, they're going to do the same thing or even more. If you as a father, you as a mother would say, listen, my boys go to church on Sundays. We set aside Sunday. It's a holy day. It's the Lord's day. Now, I'm not talking about if you don't take a vacation or something like that, but you ought to still think about God. But when you run something else in before God and say, listen, we're going to train our child that on Sunday evening or Wednesday evening or when we have church, it's more important to play baseball or it's more important to play basketball or it's more important to tumble or whatever than going to church, then listen, you're going to miss passing off God to that child. One half day on Sunday will not get it. Three quarters of our membership love God that way. If you don't believe it, you come tonight and you look. You're saying, the preacher, you're meddling. I love you. God loves you. And if that bothers you, you need to be here. It ought to bother you. It bothers me that I'm not doing a good enough job to get that baton to get you to realize, listen, your life is over in just a heartbeat. And if you do not do what's right while you have the opportunity, you do not love God with all your heart, soul, and strength, then you're going to mess up not only your life, but your children's life and their grandchildren's life right on down till they're out of church altogether. A third of the church membership loves God enough to give nothing to his work financially. Listen, we just saw a goal in our church, Lottie Moon Christmas offering, $12,000. I know somebody's already said, oh, we can't reach that. No, we can't, but God can. And I'm just going to ask you to pray and you give towards Lottie Moon Christmas offering as much as you would spend on yourself or your wife or your children for Christmas. You set aside that much and you give it. And you see what we spend on Christmas and what we give God. I could probably take what I spend on our families and you couldn't hold it in a sack. But I could probably fill up a Walmart sack with what we give to the God. And that's all. Husbands, let me tell you something. Half-hearted love towards your wife won't work. Wife, half-hearted love towards your husband won't work. And Christians, half-hearted love towards God will not work. We need a wholehearted, like someone said, a blazing, burning love for Jesus Christ. That's what God says. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Now, the soul is where that's the seat of our mind and will and emotions. That very core of our inner being we're to love God with. Our love for God, it simply says, should dominate our thinking. I love to hunt. I love to fish. I love to do just about anything. I love being around people. I love to go out and eat. You can tell it. My dream came true the other night. I got to tell you about it. I went home and went down to the farm, opened the door, and there was a Bluebell ice cream deal there. And nobody to stop me. That's a dream come true, isn't it? Man, I took me a 16-ounce soda water diet, and I poured it over that ice cream, and I stirred that ice cream up, and it was like heaven on earth. I ate the whole thing. I can't believe that. Well, you probably can. Sure was good, though. Nobody said, stop. That's going to hurt you. I said, let it go. I'm enjoying it now. But you know what? We need to love God just like that with all our heart, soul, mind. And our children should know that you as a father, you as a mother, love God that way. Our love's going to show to them. Man, I tell you what, I'd do anything for my children. I want them to have the very best. I want to give them all that I can. But I know one thing, if I don't give them Jesus Christ, I've missed the race. I've dropped the baton. Now, it only says that, influence your children to reverence the Lord. It says, verse 2, fear the Lord thy God. Let me tell you how a person fears God. When you love the Lord the best in your life, with all your heart, soul, that fear is there. That means a reverence, awareness that God is always with you. I know one thing. Everywhere I go, there's God. I was sitting in my deer stand the other morning, and I was sitting there. And you know what? I was sitting there whistling a Christian tune, and I thought to myself, where did that come from? It came from the heart. It just comes from the heart. To God be the glory, we sing this morning, I believe it was. I love that song. And I'll be whistling that, singing that at the pump, buying that high-priced gas when it was high-priced. I was sitting there whistling that song about, to God be the glory. You know, and somebody over there on the other pump said, turned around to the pump, come around and said, sir, thank you for whistling that song. I needed that. I said, no problem. You know, sit down, we'll have a whistle some more. But you know, that comes up in your life. You're a happy person when you just love God. And if you will have an awe and respect for God and a fear for the Lord, that means you reverence the Lord. Your children will understand that you love the Lord and you're happy in life because of the Lord. Look at what it says in chapter 5, verse 29. Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. You know, I believe I love the Lord because of my father loving God that way. My dad never cursed, or at least I never heard him after he was saved. I don't cuss. I just don't do that. Why? I believe it's taught, and I believe it's caught. If your child hears you say ugly things about your wife or your someone at church, you're teaching them the wrong things, you see? Teach them to love the Lord and respect the Lord your God. And then look at what it says in 6 and 7. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently. Now, God from the very beginning intended, I believe, for the home to be the university of higher education, of learning. And parents are the teachers. And children are the students. And the curriculum is the Word of God. He says, hang it between your eyes, on your doorpost. But teach our children. That word diligently means to sharpen. It's a picture of a man engraving a granite stone, and he's sitting there chipping away at that granite in that stone, carving out. Oh, it's tedious work. It's hard work. But in the end, the message is there in that stone to stay. I just love going to the cemetery and reading the grave markers and seeing what it says about the people. Father, true and faithful. Man, mother, committed to the Lord. Different things like that. But that's what that word diligently means. It's hard work in our life. Growing a child or children up is not easy. It's a day after day after day. Work, 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 doing what's right all the time, thinking about what you're doing in your life, but it's worth it at the end. Those children will learn and they will stay when they are committed to God. Man, they learn those things. Nobody has to say, Booney, you going to church tonight? No, I'm just going. I've gone, and I believe that's where we ought to be on Sunday night. I believe that's where we ought to be on Wednesday night or whatever night the church sets aside to worship God. We ought to be there. I was just so excited about helping people when this nursing home, some of our deacons said, let's do this and give these to the nursing home. I said, praise God. Let's just don't do one. Let's do all of them in the Athens and Gun Barrel and Kemp and Malakoff. Let's do them all. Can we do that? We can if we want to. If you put your heart into it. Man, all you have to do is go buy something, lotion or socks. And you know, it's so much to give love away at Christmas. And those people so many times are forgotten altogether. Invoke that love to your children to remember the Lord. Now, Moses gives a solemn warning when they finally arrive, and they're eating and they're drinking and they're enjoying the blessings of God, and he says, remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. Let me tell you something. There's always that danger of forgetting God in your house. There's always that danger, it doesn't matter who you are, of letting the baton drop. Don't let it drop in your life. Don't be the father, don't be the mother that messes up and drops the baton. When a nation forgets God, and a nation starts saying, who is God? We can do what we want to. It's on a downhill slide. But when a nation rises up and worships God and does not forsake God, it's on the upward move. We need a nation. We need a church. We need people to get in love with Jesus all over again. This is exactly what happened to Israel. You would say, well, these are God's people. Well, first there's that indulgence. And then indulgence to indifference. And to indifference to irreverence. I've never seen so much irreverent people today as I see here in America. We've been blessed with all the blessings that God has poured out on us, and now we're saying, who is God? We don't need him. Folks, God says, you're living in an era of irreverent times. Don't do that. Remember me. We're living in an era today where nothing is sacred. Man, they will break into a church. They will steal the money from the church offering plates. They'll steal sound systems in churches. We didn't even lock our church when I was growing up because people reverenced the church and the Lord. It meant something to them. We've gone after the gods of liberalism, materialism, intellectualism, humanism, and all them other isms. And folks, we forgot about building our family structured upon the Word of God. What's the solution? He says, here, O Israel, strengthen your family. Tell them that there's one God. The Lord is that God. You see, the greatest weapon against Satan, against sin and the sickness we see today is a new commitment in the Christian life to serve God and teach your family about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, well, I'll be glad to share him with you if you'll just come. Say, preacher, I don't know him and I want to know him. I'll be sure to counsel you, or Brother Bill will counsel you. We will tell you about Jesus Christ and how you can accept him. You see, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of that sin is death, it's separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. You believe that? If you believe that, then you can go to heaven. If you just come and commit your life to him, believe it with all your heart. Repent from your sin, he says, and turn your life over to him. Start living for him. Let your family know about it. Let your children know about it. If you're here today and you're already a Christian, you know that, but you haven't committed yourself wholeheartedly to him, then there's no better today to do it than Thanksgiving weekend. Just give your life and be thankful that you can serve him. You know, he said, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us. That means he'll pick us right back up and get us going again. I believe that with all my heart. If you're looking for a church home and this is the place God has sent you, we would love to have you. I'd be glad to share with you. But those decisions need to be made and made now. Don't go out those back doors lost. Don't go out those back doors without making a decision for Christ. That's the most important decision you'll ever make because it's for all eternity. The world tells you, oh, when you die, that's it. That's not it. That's just the beginning. There's a place of separation, and there's a place with Christ. Which will it be this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what we've heard. We thank you, Lord, for blessing us. We thank you for this day. Lord, if there's someone here today that needs to make a decision, may they come today before it's too late. We give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.